Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's developer conference season.
Yes.
We've had Google I.O., we've had Microsoft Build, we've had Facebook F8, and they've all made a load of announcements. So we're going to have a little run through of those. To do that, I'm joined by first-time podder, Hannah Williams. She's staff writer at TechWorld. And I'm also joined by Henry Burrell. He's deputy reviews editor, and he's our resident phone geek. And he's going to be talking about the Android P. But first off, Hannah, this week in Mountain View, Google had their I.O. conference. It looked lovely. It was outdoors, which you can only do in California.
Yeah.
What did they announce?
There was quite a few announcements, actually, this year. Quite mainly focused on AI, so artificial intelligence across their Google Assistant, across Maps and Photos, even more than that as well. Firstly, starting with Google Research, which basically did a whole rebrand to Google AI, so that's now the new name of it. And that's basically shown an example of Google's adoption of machine learning and artificial intelligence on a wider scale. Also, they added continual conversations to Google Assistant, so that's now making the conversations with the assistant more natural, so it will be as if you're having a natural conversation with a family or a friend.
Is that so you don't have to say hello Google every time now?
Exactly, yeah, so they've removed off the hey Google and the thank you Google, okay Google every time you make
a command. Like contextual, it knows what you're talking about even better than last time.
And it also added a feature whereby you can now include follow-up questions, so that makes it more easier to have a natural conversation because humans are more likely to ask loads of different questions when they're talking to people. Also, with the Google Photos, they added an AI-powered feature, so that gives an opportunity of quicker editing.
I saw this because, I mean, Google Photos has always had a lot of AI in it, and the fact that you can, like, search Bulldog and it all, like, pull up all pictures of Bulldogs, which is quite smart. But I thought this was quite interesting because it basically is just, like, a cheat way of editing, isn't it? Doesn't it suggest like rotations and brightness and stuff like that?
Yeah, it all makes it just.
Is this the thing as well where you can actually add to the photo you've taken?
So I saw this. I don't know if you're talking about the same thing, but I saw that last year they kind of hinted that they were going to ship something on photos where if there's like an annoying thing in the way of your photo, you can magically remove it.
I saw that as well.
They never shipped it.
Yeah. That was last year when they did that thing with that kid on the baseball plate.
That's it.
And they took away the gate fence or whatever it was.
Yeah, they never shipped it.
They just show what it can technically do.
But surprisingly, now they've added also a feature whereby you can put your camera in front of an outfit or a piece of furniture, and then it'll come up with where you can buy that exact outfit, which to me is quite weird because
there's some more stuff going on. There's phones now with like integrated, like you can just tap on an image and it will search to Amazon.
Yeah.
And they've also added loads of new AI features to the Google Maps as well. From summer on iOS and Android, there's going to be more better recommendations and also camera computer vision tech to the Street View.
Yeah, I saw that Street View thing got the biggest round of applause, which is the nerdiest thing I've ever seen.
It is really weird to me as well.
So one thing that got a lot of headlines was this phone feature called Duplex.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what that is?
So that's an assistant. So now the assistant can call, make appointments for you, so it can make doctor appointments on the user's behalf. So rather than you having to call the doctors to make an appointment, the assistant
it's
can
quite,
do it for you.
It's quite clever how the voice goes, and
clever / disturbing.
Disturbing,
really weird. I find it really weird as well because it basically sounds exactly like a human being.
And it doesn't identify itself, does it?
Yeah.
It just kind of goes for it.
It just makes... Apparently, there was a text that I saw where it actually says, can I make an appointment on behalf or so-so-so? So
yeah.
It basically doing it as you're registered.
Is this sort of feature a result of the fact that we've all stopped making phone calls and that some people are actually quite anxious to pick up the phone now?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, if we hadn't had all this technology in our hands and we weren't all texting each other for 10 years, would we actually be okay calling up, you know, a restaurant and speaking to a person we don't know?
What my colleague Tamlin was saying yesterday, being the most cynical person in the office, he was saying that what this looks like is that potentially it's Google basically saying, if we can get this right, we could basically eliminate every call center job, because if this works properly,
right?
And it like imagine like when like YouGov ring you up and make you answer a load of survey questions, you could with this technology, if it was correct, you could do that. You could automate that and just pay Google for it. Mm. So I do wonder if this is a consumer testbed for something that they're going to roll to enterprise.
Yeah, this is the best thing about, it's the best thing for Google that they can do is get in front of people, particularly nerds like me, as you said, who get excited about this sort of thing. And the only way these systems learn is by actual input from humans, hence machine learning, obviously. So they need people actually to use these services. But like you said, even at last year's I.O., some of the things that they showed about how even the assistant on a text level could integrate, it was like OpenTable and Uber into your evening out plans. Yeah. It still can't really do that.
Nah. Yeah.
And the examples that they pick are like a proof of concept, but this is a developer conference and they need the developers to actually integrate this sort of thing and make people use it, which doesn't always happen.
No. Yeah. I thought it was interesting the way that they went very sort of AI heavy from the start, and this does seem to be the sort of the key battleground. I've actually got a piece going up on Computer World UK tomorrow about
plug.
This. The fact that they rebranded Google Research, Google AI shows that like that's all they're doing in terms of R&D now is AI.
Yeah, it did seem really heavily focused on AI, particularly with all these, especially with the assistant features, because they really did integrate AI into a lot of their features. Especially like with the news as well, they've even made that AI powered with Google News.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so
hasn't news always been AI powered? It's always been an algorithm deciding what you see, hasn't it?
It's probably just trying to qualify that it's even better now.
Yeah, I think now it's also combining the digital magazine app with Newsstand, and also like providing options for newscasts and full coverage, so you can get more detailed news summaries and things like that.
I do love how Silicon Valley companies love trying to fix news reader apps and they've all struggled.
The language at least that Google uses for their news stuff is that they still think that humans are the best journalists and news outlets are the best at doing that. Apple kind of slipped up, and Facebook too, when they tried to get computers to do it.
Yeah, Facebook especially.
And the Apple News app is actually quite good, but you have to own an iOS device to use it, whereas Google News is just an app that you push out.
Yeah. So the AI, going back to the AI thing, also it's a good way to sort of segue into what's been going on at the other developer conferences this week, because Satya Nadella at the Microsoft conference, that was all he wanted to talk about as well. He talks about his new little thing is intelligent core, intelligent edge, which is
snappy.
Again, it's basically putting AI at the center, but also he's like hugely into the IoT stuff. So they announced some announcements with Qualcomm where they're gonna put out these developer kits with a camera, so you can start like building like camera based. So you could do like a facial recognition system kind of out of the box, and they're doing a big thing with DJI, which is a big drone company where they can put a load of compute in a drone so you can start building apps for that. But again, like Facebook as well, the other week, all they want to talk about is like how you can build AI into apps on there, other than, you know, all the hand wringing they were doing over privacy and stuff like that. And then Amazon had a London conference today, and again, that's all it was about. It was just about how to make machine learning and AI easier for developers to consume.
So when everyone talks about AI, well, I'm coming from the B2C side of things, and lots of phones that come out say that they have AI features in them, but really they don't have AI features in them, and it's just some clever piece of software. And I'm a little bit skeptical about that use. So from your B2B side, when all these big four start talking about AI, is there any level at which it isn't really that, or are they talking a big game?
Yeah, it's definitely a sliding scale. I mean, you've got like ridiculous deep learning algorithms, which are like basically mimicking like human language, but then you've also got the ones that they can kind of give developers off the shelf, where you can do an image recognition element, or you could have voice to text. Mm-hmm. So I think Amazon's is called Polly, which makes sense.
Yeah.
and then the smart sort of algorithm thing is definitely a grey area, because it's just sort of a linear thing where it's just taking a load of data and then making recommendations. It is probably technically AI, but it's not exactly high level. So it is a language thing, but they definitely want to brand everything possible AI, because it makes them look like they're cutting edge.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I kind of get the perception as well that maybe they have different views of what AI actually is. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned rightfully, with the different softwares that they're adding, what exactly is seen as AI? Because to others it might just be the algorithm that they just insert into the phone or into different features, but to more people it might be more than that. So people might just have different, the companies might just have different views of what
it is.
AI
different
is.
Perceptions, isn't it? Because there's smart AI and dumb AI. Like, there's the AI that's going to keep making you recommendations depending on a load of data, but then there's actual AI which will then adapt every time you make a query depending on what you respond to.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of Spotify thing where it kind of adapts as you go along, the more you use it, that kind of thing. So that's the kind of holy grail for them.
Also from the sort of consumer side of people using things, I saw that they were making, so I think particularly kids, but also adults, be a bit more polite to Google Assistant.
Oh, yeah.
And Google Home. Yeah. You have to say please and thank you now.
Mm. Yeah.
In a certain mode.
Yeah. That's fair play.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
It's not quite ethics, but ethics was a big thing as well this year. Like, all of the CEOs mentioned building AI for good, and having a lot of responsibility and being good custodians and stuff like that, which is certainly a reflection of like mainstream views of AI as like something scary, but it's also a reflection of our current moment where sort of data and privacy are really high on the priority list.
Yeah, and also to add on that as well, onto that feature, they also said they're going to add 6 new voices to Google Assistant, with one of them being John Legend, actually.
Oh, nice.
So that sounds really
Kanye
interesting.
Won't be happy.
Yeah. So yeah, it does sound good. It seems like they're going bigger than what we'd expect.
Yeah,
their features, but it's
more diversity of voice is really interesting, actually. And that kind of segues into another thing I wanted to talk about, which is that Facebook also this week did a big reorganization of their product team. But someone tweeted, I think it was Recode, tweeted out a picture of all of the people in the new product team, and it was something along the lines of 10 men, 1 woman.
Yeah, I saw something that was linking to that Recode piece, and it said, there are more people called Chris than women in the new Facebook leadership team.
That's
but like the point I'm getting at is that if that's the product team, you know, those are the guys that are building the products that get in front of consumers. And if you don't have diversity in that room, however smart these people are, there's probably going to be things that aren't designed for certain people.
Yeah,
and that's the concern.
Yeah, that's worrying actually.
So the fact that Google are producing multiple voices and stuff like that is a good step forward for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been something that Amazon talks about today, but on that point as well, they have their Echo dot, and there's also like a kids Echo dot now. And I was sort of thinking about how they presented this, and I quite like the fact that everyone's banging on about how companies deal with our data, but then it's also what more sensitive it is, how they access that world of information out there. And on the kids Echo, which is also just covered in plastic in case they knock it off a table or something, not that they ever need to touch it, but there's certain things like it will limit the times that they can use it, and also they open it up to a huge library of appropriate audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's, the child still feels like they're getting unlimited access to the things that they want, but it's not completely open-ended like earphone to the internet.
That's quite a cool way of sort of applying that technology to kids and not making it feel like they're being restricted, because kids don't like that.
Yeah, they don't be restricted, and parents don't want them in a room asking it things.
No.
Like some things, apparently, if you ask it how a baby's made, it will say, you should go and talk to an adult about that.
Excellent.
Which is quite thoughtful. Yeah.
Excellent. Was there anything else from I.O. that we didn't talk about? I'm trying to think if they made any other big announcements.
Well, again, one of the things I like, which is, again, a problem with which I'll talk about in a bit with Android, but with distribution for Google, is that they can bring this software in at high level, but then how many people are actually going to have a device that it's compatible with? Because their Google Lens is really cool, and that's been built into more native camera apps now. So it's on the Pixel phones, but not many more. But the fact that you can, say if you're in another country, you can point it at the outside of a restaurant and it will take all the information and then give you back the best result. So it could be the phone number to ring to book something, or directions to it from when you get back home. You can like just recall it with a tap of a button, and that's getting cleverer all the time. But it needs people to use it to get better. And that's the thing, I think Google, it's hard to try and argue that Google is struggling.
Yeah, it's very difficult to make that argument.
But if he's talking about the small things that wow people at these events, like we've just said, stuff that they announced last year still is nowhere near mainstream.
Mm. Well, I think that's interesting that like, it's interesting to compare the way that the public and the media responded to Google I.O. and Build, because they were, I think, on the same day or a day apart.
Yeah.
And basically Google got tons of headlines for, especially for this duplex thing, but also they came out with this thing, didn't they, where you can do smart replies to emails, but it writes the whole email for you.
Yeah.
That got a load of headlines. And then they got some headlines for some of the like rebranding of research and photos and stuff. And then I covered Build as well, Microsoft's conference, and the main headline out of that was that Nadella showed off that Alexa and Cortana can have a conversation. That was it.
Wow. Baby steps for Microsoft.
So Microsoft made a ton of announcements, but they just didn't get any headlines, and none of them were exciting. They were, you know, Microsoft are very much turning into this skid of being the boring enterprise company, which won't hurt their bottom line at all, but it will hurt perceptions of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as well. That's a good point. At the Google Pixel event in October, one of the things that I was, along the same lines as Duplex, is the these Pixel Bud earphones. There were tons of videos and stuff with real-time translation, like you talk and then it talks back to you in your ears and you can have a conversation. That is one of the worst products I've ever reviewed.
Really?
Yeah, as an actual piece of technology, it doesn't work incredibly well. And in fact, there are no unique features on those earphones that you can't get in the free Google Translate app anyway. Yeah. But it just goes to show, like you say, if they package it up nicely, they're going to hit tons of headlines and loads of people are going to be interested in it, even if no one goes and buys the product, which might end up being the problem.
Yeah, it's almost like they made them look ridiculous on purpose so that people would cover it.
Yeah.
Even to add to the Google Lens as well, I read about a feature that they've added to the phone camera as well, whereby you can highlight a piece of text in a book, and then if you point the camera at it, it will just copy and paste the text onto the phone.
Ah, right.
Which I've kind of felt about two minds about that, because it's kind of like, you could just take the picture of the text anyway and just have it on the phone. So rather than it just automatically appearing on the phone, is that really something unique? Is it really?
It's a very tech company feature in that it makes something very small, very slightly easier.
Yeah.
Like, that's what a lot of these features do. They kind of just make something slightly more convenient.
Yeah.
It's kind of just, for showing off sake sometimes,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly,
yeah. Cool. All right, I'm going to go around the room. I haven't come up with any pithy questions.
I'll let you off.
So I'm gonna go with Google I.O. or Google don't know. Henry.
Google I.O. Yeah. Just about. Yeah.
Hannah?
Yeah, Google I.O.
Yeah, me too. Full house. Alright, we're gonna take a little break and we can come back and talk about Android.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Henry Burrell?
Yo.
Android P?
Yep.
What is it?
That's bad. You said the Android P last time.
Did I?
Shows how much of an
That's
Apple,
such a dad
Apple
thing.
Boy you are.
Yeah.
Carrying on from a theme from the last section, though, Android P is the new version of Android, but not everyone is going to get it, probably, ever. So right. the great thing about iOS, for all its flaws and what have you, is that even, I think, back to the iPhone 5S now can get the latest version of iOS, and it'll push it to you, and it'll work to a certain extent, even if it's slightly slow.
Are
you
Which and is I, what, 11?
11 what?
Is it iOS 11?
iOS 11, yes. Yeah. So, a phone that came out in 2013 will still run it and be supported by it. It's good, basically.
I think that's basically what I'm running on my very old 6.
It will be, yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you use iPhone?
Yeah. I've got iPhone 6S Plus.
Yeah. So that can still run software that's brand new and up to date in 2018, which is great. Android, as you know, is completely fragmented. So Google can show off the latest edition of Android, and because we review these things, we're privileged enough to have phones that can run them, which is what I've been doing. But I mean, even uptake of the previous version, Android Oreo, is less than 2% worldwide, and there are more Android phones in the world than iPhones. But anyway, aside from the fact that no one will probably use it, there are some cool things that they showed off about.
Actually, most important fact, weren't they all called like Sweets, and now they've what? Just dropped that?
Oh, no. So what they do every year, it will be named after Sweets.
Okay.
But they I.O., they show all the features off. So it's Android P, but they don't name it until the public release in September.
So when it's a letter, it's basically the beta, and it's like a limited release.
Yeah. You could have got the developer preview before I.O., but you have to flash your phone, and it's just actually quite difficult. So
do we know what it's going to be?
No, we don't. There are many guesses.
Peanut butter?
People think peanut butter because they've done Kit Kat and Oreo with brands before, but peanut butter's not really a brand, is it? So they could probably get away with it. People think maybe pistachio.
That's crap.
That's a crap one.
That's
so have a little
bad.
Think. But
dear Mr. Google, do not call it pistachio.
Or even like pistachio ice cream, because they've called it weird stuff before.
Yeah.
You'd have, Android ice cream.
Bookie's favourite, peanut butter.
It's going to be peanut butter, yeah. Let's hope so. I can't think of any more.
I can't.
I think peanut butter is the only thing that comes to mind as well.
There's probably some American candy brands that I'm not thinking of.
Yeah, the cynical part of me thinks it's going to try and get a brand on board, like with Oreo.
Makes sense.
So now, as you say, it's called Android P until September, when it will come out for some phones. But even still, like at the moment, usually the betas that you can download are only for Pixel phones. This year, it is for all the existing Pixel phones, but also a couple of others like a Xiaomi phone, a Sony, and what have you.
But you can be a run-of-the-mill nerd, and if you've got that phone, and go for the beta.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I've done. You just go on the beta program website, and if you're logged into your Google account, obviously you can just press opt in, and it does it over the air to your phone.
Gotcha.
And I mean, if you guys aren't Android users, you might not know what you were missing out on before. But there's a few things that I've done which are the most interesting things, so I won't bore you with all the boring crap.
Hit me.
They have claimed to have invented a new term. So you've all heard of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah. Mm.
Google went with JOMO, which is obviously the joy of missing out. So a lot of the concentration on Android P, the most interesting part of it, aside from all the things like you can read my review if you want.
Yeah.
But the interesting parts are the what it's called digital well-being. And phones are designed to capture our attention all the time. Apps want us to use them all the time and keep pinging you. And I will tell you that iOS notifications are a mess. That huge long list of things.
I agree. Yeah.
So what Google has been doing for the last two versions is trying to make you, you can snooze notifications, you can dismiss them easier. You can go into the app and granularly select which things you want. Like, so if you only want Instagram to tell you when someone DMs you, you can have that and then turn everything else off.
So that's a very similar design principle to all the changes they just made to Gmail.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
They were working on in Oreo, and it's even more at the front now. So the do not disturb mode is also have granular things. So you put do not disturb on, you just don't get any notifications at all, but your alarms still ring.
Yeah, I read with that. Even that's the shush mode, isn't that? Do not disturb. But isn't there something like a feature where you have to put the phone face down on the table in order for it to be activated?
I don't think so. I think there is an option that you can have on a build where if you just turn it face down, it puts that mode on rather than pressing a button.
It's very cool.
That's not always necessary, that one. And there's these three things that weirdly aren't on the version that I actually downloaded. I'm not sure why they're not on this one, but they are coming to it soon. They have a dashboard that reads out all the time you spend on the apps. So it's basically a shaming screen, I think. Mm-hmm. It would say, like, Scott, you spent 45 minutes on Twitter today, which is cool.
No shame in that.
No. Yeah. Depends what you're doing.
Also, but, wildly conservative estimate.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, fine. So say, Scott, you were spending, like, on average 3 hours a day on Twitter, on the app. What you can then do is create an app timer for that app, which they hide quite down in the controls. So you can turn it off if you get annoyed by the fact that it blocks you. Mm. But you could set a, okay, if 45 minutes isn't very long, 45-minute timer. And then during that day, if you use it 45 minutes, it will close, the app goes grey on your screen, and then you can't open it again unless you fiddle around with the settings.
That's cool.
And it just encourages you. It's not forcing it. It's encouraging you to stop doing it.
To limit your time on social media.
And then there's also this mode called wind down, where at sunset, wherever you are, because he knows where you are, because his phone, Google knows everything, it will... I think it just stops all your notifications coming in. Shit, I've forgotten exactly what it does. But the interesting bit is when you set your bedtime, it grayscales the entire phone.
Yeah.
To make it look boring.
So, like, yeah, it's like... and it puts iPhone do not has disturb like a night mode, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, oh, you have night light, which does, like, it sort of mutes the colours a bit, so that blue light's not going to keep you up. But this properly actually grayscales all the colours.
Yeah.
And so when you look at your phone, there's no notifications coming in, it's grey, and you're like, oh, that's boring.
Yeah.
Not going to watch, Netflix in black and white. So you're just more inclined to put it to one side. Oop. So I found those are the most interesting things. There's other design changes too. There's gesture control, a bit like on the iPhone X, which I can't say whether or not they were thinking about it before the iPhone X, but you swipe up to get your list of apps like you would in iOS, and that's never been the case in Android before.
Yeah.
So there's a few other things going on, and just changes to the design to make it nicer. But like I say, even when this comes out as an official release on some phones in September, I mean... there are some even Samsung Galaxy phones that take over 6 months to get this. So it just depends how Google works with the OEMs.
Fine. Polo mints.
Polo could be. Are they big in America?
No, I don't know.
I don't think they are that big in America.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
We do actually we actually not have an article on Tech Advisor about Marie has written down all the sweets she can think of, beginning with P.
Yeah.
I can't think of any. Panna cotta, is that a thing?
I mean, that's a dessert.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I don't even know what that is.
There's absolutely profiter no rolls. Way that an American company is going to go with that over peanut butter.
Peanut butter, yeah. There haven't been many two-word ones, though. It's normally like, you know, marshmallow or lollipop or something. So.
Yeah.
I would ask you if you're excited about Android P.
There's no point, though, is
there? No, there isn't.
Yeah. All right.
It's cool. It's more secure. It will run better. It will integrate all the things that Hannah was discussing to do with... what they're trying to push to consumers first before other phones. But it just kind of depends. I mean, there are phones out there that even run some of the latest versions of Android, but if that manufacturer decides not to put those features at the front of their take on Android, then some people just aren't ever going to know these things exist.
Fine. Okay, so if you're a super nerd, go off and download Android P. Give it a whirl. Henry, and Android peanut butter or Android Polo?
You know what? I love it, but I'm going to go with Polo because I know that we get excited about it, but not that many people are ever going to see these changes.
No, and no one gets excited about Polos.
Mm. No, they don't,
do they?
I think
I'd go with Polo as well because it just sounds easier to say.
It's a school disco suite, isn't it?
All right, great. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you got this far, don't forget to subscribe, tell your friends, review us, only if they're nice. We will be back next week, probably at a new time. We're going to try and record these a little bit earlier in the week. So check your regular podcast app for us earlier in the week. Have a good weekend. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.